finished till 12. I'll be done. I'm going to be done by 12:30 or so. Maybe 15 minutes. You know how that goes. But I'm not going to carry on with a bunch of foolishness because I've got to preach. But I'm thankful to be here. My wife's Connie, and I'm thankful to have her here with me. And our granddaughter's with us. She's downstairs in the classes. I appreciate Brother Ted, Brother Matt, Brother David, and Brother Ed. I'm thankful to be here and to be able to meet saints that I've never met. And we love you, and I appreciate this opportunity that I have to come and preach today. And the Word of God, I'm just thankful that we have the Word, we have the truth. And I appreciate what Brother Leroy said, what Brother Perry said. So it's all good. So turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. I want to speak to you about a believer's thinking hat. It's sad, but I've seen the day that I didn't have that thinking hat. Even after I was saved, I didn't have that knowledge and understanding, didn't have the truth. You can be saved and not have the truth, and I didn't have that for a long time, and I want to speak a little bit about that today. But Romans 15, this is a great chapter, and I can't do it all, but you look in verse 14 will be the verse that I use in Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time that we have together. We thank you for each saint here for this conference. And I just pray today as I open the Word of God up, I pray that the material that I present will be plain and clear. And may we do it all for your honor and your glory. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, Brother Leroy mentioned this, and I'll say this, a believer cannot function on ignorance. And that's a sad thing that we see today with a lot of folks that they don't have the knowledge and understanding. They've never come to the knowledge of the truth. Destitute of knowledge is a sad thing. Uninformed, uninstructed, untaught, unenlightened. And you could go on and say a lot about that. Why are people destitute of knowledge? That's a good question. Why are people destitute of knowledge? Well, they've forsaken the knowledge. And that's what we see today in the body of Christ. We see the apostasy. We see the falling back. How people have gone away from the truth, the doctrine, and gone and forsaken that and not stand for the truth. When you forsake something, you think about this. You think about you quit or you leave entirely. You desert it. You abandon it. You depart from it. You reject it. And so many people you see today, you talk to, and they just reject it. They don't want it. They depart from it. But is that any reason for us to be discouraged? Not at all. Because we serve our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that died for us and shed His blood for us. The victory's been won. We've got the Word of God that's complete, and we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. And it's important that we see and understand the book of Romans is our doctrine book. And we can say so much about the book of Romans and the cross work of Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. But I will say this to you, if you don't know this, there's 16 chapters. All of us know that part. But the first five chapters, the emphasis on those chapters would be think, the word think. And you think about who you are in Christ, what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, that we're justified, we're declared righteous in God's eyes. And you think about we're dead to sin, we're alive unto God, we're dead to the law. So there's many things that we could think about. So when you read those first five chapters, you ought to put the word think there at those chapters, the beginning, and you ought to read down those chapters, and it'll be a blessing to you to see that. And using that the word think. Then when you get to also chapter 6 through 8, you've got the word live. And you know what that goes right along with, Brother Leroy? We're saved positionally, we're in Christ. The practical part, it's progressive sanctification. We got to make progress in our lives. And I can tell you this, that we all need to make progress. We all need to grow. And we all need that understanding. But live. We understand, we think about who we are in Christ. We know we're saved, we're in Christ, chapters 1 through 5. But live that grace life. Live on based who you are in Christ. Live that life. Make that progressive sanctification in your life. Grow, and don't let anything stunt your growth or hinder you from serving the Lord and doing the work of the ministry. So the moment we're saved, that's progressive. Once we're saved, we got to make progress. And how long are we going to make progress? We're going to make it until that we die or until the Lord comes. And that's how long we've got to make that progress. And we've got to continue to do that. It's the growth that we need. My soul needs to be fed. And the only way that I can be fed is through the inner man, through the Word of God. Through reading the Word of God, through studying the Word of God, rightly divided, and feed that soul, my inner man, and get the doctrine, build that doctrine up in my soul, and walk worthy of that vocation of who I am in Christ. Now, there's a lot of detours in this life. That's a sad thing to say. I mean, we traveled 5 hours and 45 minutes to come up here. We didn't get any detours, but I saw on the southbound, westbound lane coming over here, they were all backed up. And I thought, oh, I'm glad that's not me. But, you know, it has been me. But there's detours in life. And with those detours, you're going to have snares and you're going to have traps that face you out there. And you're going to have opposition. You're going to have attacks. Detour, that's the act of going or traveling to a place along a way that is different. And you know, that's what, the usual or planned way. You know what the planned way is? It's God's plan. It's the Word of God. And we take God's Word rightly divided, and we learn that Romans through Philemon are our doctrine books. Paul's our apostle. We've got to follow that plan that God's laid out for us. And yet so many people get detoured on that. And I can say this to you. I'm going to relate to Brother Leroy. Brother Leroy, I was saved in Germany. I was saved in a Pentecostal church. And not only was I saved there, but I saw the other things and did a lot of the other things too, what you said. But also I had to be baptized. Now this is a funny part. I was raised in Tennessee. And you'd think everybody in Tennessee, well, they're all country boys and they can farm and they can fish and they can hunt. And you know, they love the water. But you know what? I can't swim. Anybody else can't swim? Well, that's good. I can't. You know what? I'm scared to death of it. Nervous. Makes me nervous. Well, they told me I had to be baptized. That made me nervous too. And it was in the winter time over there, and there wasn't much heat over there either in Germany. And it was chilly, I'll say that. But I went ahead. I was baptized because I wanted to serve the Lord. Well, I did the opposite, Brother Leroy. Here I started out in Pentecostal. And one day after my wife and I married, I came home a year later from Germany and we were married, went back over there, and finally we decided that we were going to leave the Pentecostals and we were going to go to this Baptist church off the base there. They had been inviting me to go, and they were the good old boys, and they'd talk to you once from Arkansas and all that, and they just kept begging for us to come visit with them. So I decided there's something wrong in this church that I'm in. I didn't know what it was. I was ignorant. And that's a sad thing, but I was ignorant of the truth, and knowledge and truth and understanding and all that. But so I went to the pastor. Connie and I did. We were supposed to have dinner with him that night. We went, and we thought we were going to eat. I was hungry. It's like I am right now. I'm hungry now. But we went. We went there, and I thought, well, we're going to get a good meal. Well, I started talking to the pastor there, and before we ate, I broke the news. I said, Pastor, we're going to be leaving the church. What? I said, we're leaving. Well, what are you going to do? I said, we're going to go to a Baptist church. I was in the Air Force, and it was off of our base there in Germany. I said, we're going there. And he looked at me, and he said, look. He said, for you to go to a Baptist church, you might as well, I'm going to say this to you, I'm going to give you 90 days, and you're going to lose your salvation. And he said, not only that, but he said, I'll guarantee you, you might as well get you a bottle of liquor and go out and start drinking it up on the streets, because that's what you're going to end up. I went on. Well, I'd go along the base, and after we left, and this little man is short, and he met me one day, and he said, hey, Frank, when's the last time you spoke in tongues? And I was in the flesh. I got upset. I didn't say much. But I could have whipped him that day. 'Cause, But I didn't know. I didn't know how to handle him because I didn't have the scriptures. I knew he was wrong. I didn't know that. I had enough sense, enough little knowledge to know they were wrong. But I didn't know how, why and all that type of stuff. So that just gave me a drive even more to read and study. That's all it did to me. And I went on and started learning. And that's a snare. Like I said, after I got saved, I was in the snare. I was caught up in it. Then, after I was in the Baptist church, I went on legalism and all and ended up going to a Tennessee temple. Is there anybody heard of Tennessee temple? Yeah. Used to be Tennessee temple. It's gone. I was there in the years when they had 10,000 for Sunday school. I mean, we had our son at that time, and hey, they give you a nursery number and hundreds in the nursery. If you didn't have the number, you'd never find your kid. That's how many they had. You can't have them in the auditorium. Oh, they may have called it sanctuary. You know, that's how that go. But I know this. The legalism was there, so here you got all those traps. But one thing I did learn, I learned how to divide by Larkin and Schofield by a man that was in that school. And I used that for all the years until 2011. And then 2011 came, a Baptist preacher now gave me a tape of Brother Richards on eternal glory. I listened to that, and you know what? I listened to every one, and you know what I said? Lord, I'm wrong. I'm wrong as I can be. I'm not right. The doctrine's not right. And I called Chicago, and I couldn't wait for them to send me material. And for a solid year and a half, I listened. And every time I'd learn and compare the Bible with it, I didn't just take man's word, compare the Bible, and then I'd get up to church and preach and apologize for every mistake, like every doctrine I was wrong in. I did that all that time. And then back in 2013, we changed our church over from a Baptist church to a Grace church. I've been at this church be 26 years in August. But we're a Grace Bible church, Clear Springs Bible Church. It's located in Calhoun, Tennessee, and we're down below Knoxville, about 72 miles, but I'm thankful for Grace. You know, we need to take the Holy Spirit through the Word of God and let Him build that doctrine up in our souls today. We all need the doctrine, and we need that edification, and we need to act like believers. Responsibility. Take that responsibility and accountability. It's like a man. Stand like a man. Be strong in the faith, and allow the Lord to use us, constant growing. But when you get to chapters 12 through 16, of course, that's the practical part. And when you think about that, that's the word labor. You've already, you're thinking about who you are in Christ, first six, five chapters. You're living it based on who you are in Christ, progressive sanctification. And now, you, as far as you labor based on who you are in Christ. You're living that grace life, and now you're taking that doctrine that you've learned, you're applying that doctrine in the details of your life, Romans 12 through 16. And that's what we got to do with the Bible. You've got to learn to apply the doctrine. I've got to learn. That's a constant thing for all of us to do. And we need to learn and grow. And you know, you hear people say, back years ago when we were growing up, hey, you don't have enough sense to get in and out of the rain. Has anybody ever been told that? Yeah. Mercy. It is mercy. We need mercy when we're in that bad of shape. But, you know, we've all been told that, a lot of us, growing up. You know, we need in ourselves today as grace believers, and you know this, we need wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's very important in our lives today. We should be persuading people. You know how we persuade people today? By the grace life in us. You know, who we are in Christ. Christ working in our life. That doctrine's built up in us, and they see Christ in us. And we ought to be persuading people that way today. And Paul did that. You know, I can tell you this, and I'm not much, I'm not going to sing today like Brother Perry did. I appreciate him, but I can't sing, and I'm not going to try. But, you know, the song, God Bless the USA. You think about that, and you think about it, I'm proud to be an American. I can tell you, I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be able to tell you that I did serve. I was in the military. Best thing ever happened to me because I got saved. And that changed my life. But I'm proud of that. But I'll tell you what I'm more, what would be the correct words? I'm proud to be an ambassador for Christ. That's more important, you know, too. You think about being an ambassador for Christ, I represent Him like you do today. We're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to walk by faith, and we want that Pauline doctrine in our lives, and we want to do it for the glory of God. We want to win people to the Lord. Then we want to teach them so they can come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's our goal, and that's what we should be desiring to do. But you know, persuading people. You look at Romans 15:14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. I mean, he uses the word persuaded. You look in this chapter. You look in verse 1. You've got the strong there, and you've got the weak. You've got verse 2. You've got edification. You've got verse 4 there. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. I mean, what a blessing that is to know that. In verse 5 there, he says that now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Then you look in verse 8, and I mean, verse 8 and verse 16, what wonderful verses to see the difference in the ministry. Verse 8, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. How can anybody miss that when they read the Bible and believe what they read? Verse 16, Paul says, I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. I mean, there's a different ministry there with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Apostle Paul there. Then when you go on down, you look in verse 9 through 12 here, there's some things here that's going to be on out there in ages to come. Verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with His people. Let me ask you, is His people, who's His people? Israel, are they rejoicing today? No. So here's something here that's out there in ages to come. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and laud Him, all you people. See, that's a reference there to Psalm 117 and verse 1. Verse 12, and again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. See, there's the reigning. See, that's not now. He's not reigning today. You know, you see the bumper stickers now talking about King Jesus. Well, he's our Lord and Savior. He's the head of the body of Christ today. Amen. And there's a difference. He will be king one day. Then you look in verse 13. He says to these believers, he said, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound, notice this, in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about the God of hope fill you. You go back and you look at verse 4 there. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. See, that's how we have hope. And the hope there, and then he said in verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And then he says in verse 15, nevertheless, notice that there, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. I mean, Paul's writing this letter to those believers. And what he's saying there in verse 15 there, he said, brethren, nevertheless, I've written unto you more boldly unto you in some sort. I mean, he's saying, I've got the right here to write to you. He said, I've got the ministry. I've got my position. He's the apostle of the Gentiles, just like he is today. God inspired him. His letters were inspired and written, and so therefore they're passed on. They've been preserved down through time and by the local churches. And we're preserving the Word of God today. We can stand strong and say the King James Bible is the authority today. There's nothing else. And we stand on that and we believe that and we know the Word of God's true. And it's without error today. So you think about what we are. You think about faith. And we're here in verse 14. Paul said, I myself also am persuaded of you. Paul's persuaded. When you think about the word persuaded, that means to influence, convince. I mean, he is convinced about these believers. And you think about the convinced there. I mean, how do we persuade people? We do it by mouth, and we take the Word of God by mouth, and we persuade people. We take it by our actions, our daily walk, and people can see Christ in our lives. And we do that way, persuade people. And the faith, it's not unfeigned. Let me give you an example. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Am I talking too fast? I want to make sure I'm plain and clear. 2 Timothy chapter 1. If I'm not plain and clear, then there's no point for me to be up here. You know, because you need to understand what I'm saying, and I need to give the material to you in a way that would please the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Notice what Paul said. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Now notice he's talking about Timothy there, the unfeigned faith. That he said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in thee." Thank the Lord for that. It's unfeigned. Unfeigned is not counterfeit. It's not hypocritical. It's real. It's sincere. That's unfeigned faith. And you know, before I came to the knowledge of the truth, I wasn't sincere. It wasn't real. It was feigned faith. It wasn't right. And people that don't have the truth don't see that and understand that. You know, religious leaders of Israel, you go through and look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see these scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, and you know what the Lord calls them? Hypocrites. That's what they are. They're religious leaders. They're leading a nation. And they're leading them down a blind road that's not right spiritually. And they're hypocrites. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And look in verse 13. Matthew 23:13. You know, you've heard of the woes. Well, here's some woes in Matthew 23. There's eight woes here in this chapter. Well, I believe there's eight in this one. Eight woes in a chapter. Verse 13. Matthew 23:13. And when you get to 13 and you look at a 13, 13 is a number of rebellion. These folks were rebellious all the way down. They were rotten to the core. They had an outward appearance, just like religion, tradition does today. It's all outward. It's all a show. And they had that show, but yet inwardly they weren't right. Matthew 23:13. "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." Now that's sad when you see that. And you see that today as well. Matthew 23, look at verse 27. 23:27. He said in verse 27, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Now that's the way they were. They were full of it there. We think about the dispensation of grace, and go while we're thinking of that, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look in verse 5. I am getting to the text, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, and look in verse 5. 1 Timothy 1, 5. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." Notice that faith unfeigned, it's not counterfeit, it's not hypocritical, it's sincere, it's a real thing. It's walking by faith, the doctrine's right. It's faith unfeigned. And we think about that. Do you know what happens when you swerve? Bad things happen. You think about that. I mean, it doesn't matter if I swerve around. My brother-in-law swerved around not too long ago. He fell in the bathroom. You know what he did? He broke his femur bone in his left leg. That's bad. What happens when you swerve around in the car, with your car? You swerve. You may hit another vehicle. That's bad. Any time that you swerve around and do that. This is what's happening today, doctrine-wise. So many people, they've swerved. They've gone away from the doctrine. Instead of having that unfeigned faith, sincere about what they were doing, knowing the doctrine, that people don't have that today. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. I'll give you an example. Galatians chapter 1, and look in verse 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I was thinking about the clock up there. We changed our clock. We used to have it for years up front. Brother Richard came the first time to the Bible conference, and guess what? He didn't notice that. I said, well, he won't see that again there. So this year, it's in the back. And it's good for the preachers, you know, that type thing. And not only that, but if you get bored with me, you're going to look at your phone anyway and see what time it is. I know that. But anyway, when you look in Galatians chapter 1 there in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I mean, there's the swerving right there. They swerve, they remove. Notice it says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you. Now, that's sad there. Removed there, that's swerved away from sound doctrine. People do that. People say, I don't see how they do it. I'm going to tell you something. This church that I've been at nearly 26 years, I've seen people come. I've seen people stay 10 years, 12 years, or whatever. And you'll say, well, you didn't have all the doctrine. Well, I might not, but I did preach. I didn't preach law, by the way. I knew the difference between law and grace. I just didn't have it all. But yet, they leave. I see people come since we've got changed to a grace message, and they still go sometimes. But, you know, I'm just saying people swerve and things come in your lives. It makes you swerve. And then you look down the road there, you're carried away. And when people do that, they get distant. They go away. And when you get distant like that, guess what? It's just like in the military. They're isolated. They go out on maneuvers. Thank the Lord I didn't do that in the Air Force. I never did camp out. I never liked it anyway. I'll tell you why. I felt like I camped out all my life growing up. So I can tell you, people go out and they get isolated, distant from the doctrine, and sometimes, and chances are, they never get back to that doctrine. Now, that's sad. But folks get that way. And we need to understand the grace teaching. And with that, we'll go back to Romans 15. We've got to get on with this. Romans chapter 15. Paul there, in verse 14. Romans 15, 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. See, he's talking to saved people there, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So we know Paul here is a spokesperson. We know he's the apostle, Romans 11, 13. And we won't go through that. But he's persuaded there. He's convinced. These were saints, by the way. Saved. Saints. And look in Romans chapter 1, verse 7 about these saints. Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Romans 1, 7. If you read Romans 1, 7 and you notice this verse, it says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, these what you've got here, you see these are titles that describe the believer. I mean, we're called, is that right? When we got saved, we were called. We're called of God, called to be saints. And I read an article in the newspaper about 2 weeks ago. And you know what I do? We get a little paper in our city there that we live in, and the first thing I do is to read. I read the obituaries. First thing. Does anybody else do that? I do it, and I want to do it. And but I saw this in the paper. Well, I read it, not saw it, but I read it in the paper about this person. This person, it stated that she had been a member of this church since 1978. And I thought, well, you know, she's a member of a church. And it also stated, where upon hearing the gospel believed. Well, what gospel? And the reference was Hebrews 11:6. Now that's a kingdom gospel. Isn't that not? That's not ours. And it went on to say that she repented. That's Luke 13:3. You can read the verse. And the brother said a while ago, we don't repent, we believe. Well, and it went on to say that this person confessed Christ. And you know what verse was used? Matthew 10:32. You ought to read that if you're not familiar with it. Matthew 10:32. And it went on to say and was baptized. Now let me ask, what verse would that person would they have used? They didn't use that, but it was Acts 6, 3 and 4 there. They used that. And that's not water, but that was what that person was baptized with, water. That's the wrong gospel. And they also use Acts 2, 38. I mean, it's a wrong gospel. And, we're saints today because of the gospel, because we believe the gospel. Is that right? I believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and raised again. His shed blood completely satisfied God the Father that I could be saved. And I'm saved by grace and not by works. Then he said in Romans 15, 14, he said, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren. So here again, the brethren, context determines meaning. We read that in 1:7. Paul's persuaded here in verse 14 that these believers have their thinking hats on. He's a believer. He's convinced. He's persuaded that they got their thinking hats on, because he says, in verse 14, I myself also am persuaded of you. He's convinced. There's three things in this verse that he says here in verse 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And what I want to do with the time we've got, I'm going to give you those three things. And we know that Romans was written early. We know there's more knowledge and understanding to gain. We've got it now. We've got a complete Bible. But the Word of God says here they were full of goodness. And it says that they were filled with all knowledge. They had knowledge, what they understood. What they had, they understood. And it also says they were able to admonish one another. A lot of folks can't admonish one another. Nowadays, the way things are. So we want to look at those three things. We want to look at the word full and filled and able. Those are three good words. Full and filled and able. Notice there that you also are full of goodness. That's a good word. Question is, where does goodness come from? We all know it comes from God. Let me give you the verse, the first time it's used. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. In Genesis chapter 18, and look in verse 9. I'm sorry, Exodus 18. That looks better. Exodus 18, verse 9. Sometimes preachers, we mean something, but we can't get our minds to, we can't turn to the right place. Exodus 18, verse 9. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. I mean, that's goodness right there. And with that, turn to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34 and verse 6. Moses, the Lord's talking to Moses, chapter 34, verse 1. You go on down, verse 6. Notice what it says. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. When you proclaim something, what do? And with that, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Notice this, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's what the Lord is. He's abundant in goodness and in truth there. I mean, if you're abundant in something, you've got great quality. You're overflowing with it. And God is overflowing with goodness and truth. Never run out. He's full of goodness, full of truth. Those are good verses there to see that and to understand that. Full of goodness and full of truth. Turn on over to Romans chapter 2. All of you know this verse. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. We're talking about the goodness of God. He's full of goodness. Romans 2, 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness. Notice the riches of his goodness. And forbearance and longsuffering. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's the goodness of God. Go back to Romans 15, verse 14. If you look at that word, full of goodness in Romans 15:14. full means to replete. It means completely filled. It's full. And these saints here, they were full of goodness. Is that right? That's what it says. They were full of goodness there. And look in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, what did these saints, what did they believe? They believed the doctrine that was given to them in the book of Romans. They believed that doctrine. Well, not only that, but look in chapter 16, verse 19 to go along with that. 16:19. Here's something else about these saints, what Paul says. Romans 16:19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you unwise in that which is good and simple concerning evil. Notice that, for your obedience has come abroad. Well, what's their obedience? It's obedience to the doctrine. And we've got to be obedient to the Word of God, to the doctrine that's given to us. So they've got, they're obedient, they've got, they believe the doctrine. And you think about as far as us, I mean, they're full of goodness. Now, that leads me to this. How do we get goodness today? I mean, I know we're saved by grace. God's full of goodness. But that leads me to thinking, we've got a complete Bible now. But go to Galatians chapter 5. We'll learn something. Galatians chapter 5. What about the fruit of the Spirit? Does that kind of ring a bell to us? So in Galatians chapter 5, when you think about goodness, look what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. 5:22. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Does everybody see the word goodness? Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, the fruit of the Spirit. Well, question is, how do we get that? Well, Ephesians 5:18 is not far from that, so turn to your right. Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, how are we filled with the Spirit? Well, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. You can't be filled unless you got the Word of Christ in you. It's got to dwell in you. Well, to dwell in you, you've got to let the Word of God just come into your soul and fill it home and stay there. You've got to keep it there. You've got to renew your mind. You've got to have your thinking hat on. You can't think and function properly as a believer unless you got your thinking hat on. And the only way you can do that is through the Word of God, and through reading and studying the Word of God, rightly divided. You can't do it any other way. And that's why I'm saying what I am. Going back to Romans 15:14, these folks are full of goodness. And not only were they full of goodness, but they were filled with all knowledge. Notice that there. They were filled with all knowledge. And when you're filled, you're made full. You're supplied with abundance. And they had knowledge. But you know what? I don't see any indication that they were puffed up. And I know in past, we've all been puffed up. Knowledge puffeth up. Corinthians tells us that, 1 Corinthians 8. Knowledge will puff us up if we don't watch. We've got to make sure we don't get in that flesh. We've got to stay out of that and understand just who we are in Christ. We think about who we are in Christ. We live it based on who we are in Christ. And we labor, we apply that doctrine on who we are based on who we are in Christ, and we live it, work it, and do for the Lord. And that labor of love, we do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But these saints were filled with knowledge. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 for us. Colossians chapter 1, and look in verse 9. I love this verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. See, Paul's praying for these believers. And to desire that you might be filled, notice this, with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And you see, that's what we need to be filled today, with the knowledge of His will. We need to have an understanding about the mystery program, what God's doing today, God's purpose, and be filled that way. And we need to pray for other believers that way as well. And the only way you can be filled is get in the Word of God, read it, rightly divide it, study it, show yourself approved, and believe what you read, and allow God to work, and you can see it. We can all see it. And we can be filled with the knowledge of His will and have that understanding. Go back to one more, Romans chapter 15. I told you we might get out close to 12:30, so we're not bad. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. Verse 14, they were, notice this, they were full of goodness, they were filled with all knowledge, and they were able also to admonish one another. Now, that word admonish, what would you say, what's it mean? Recognize, correct. And I put these down to warn or notify of fault, to caution, to advise, even to instruct. Would you say that? And we're able to admonish one another. These believers were able to do that. Well, we see this today. A lot of folks are not able. I'm thankful for you folks. I'd say the majority of you are able. I'd say that we're saved by grace. We know the doctrine. We're able to admonish. But there's a lot of folks out here that don't know the doctrine. They've been saved. They know the cross. And that's all they know. And that's not doing what God wants us to do today. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look in verse 15. We'll read verses 14 and 15. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15. I love to hear the pages turn. That's good. 2 Thessalonians 3, 14. If any man obey not our word, but this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. See, I admonish as a brother. I mean, you can warn people, and you can help people, advise people, but understand they're brethren, they're brothers, and warn them as a brother. You know, a believer's thinking hat. You can go, there's a lot in Romans 15, and I wanted to use that verse 14 to compare that to us. That, you know, that we ought to be full of goodness. We ought to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We ought to be able to admonish one another as well, ourselves today. But a believer's thinking hat, grace life living, will have an impact on others. We live the life. If we'll do that, if we realize today, I'm proud to be an ambassador for Christ today. I'm proud to serve, proud to live for Him, proud to be able to share the gospel with other people, proud to preach the word, instant in season, out of season, it doesn't matter. Preach it, teach it, and live by it and stand for the truth. I'm proud to be able to do that today. And by that, we can persuade people with our lives. Those believers over there, they were persuading other people or themselves. I'll say this, keys in grace life living would be read your Bibles. It also would be study the Word of God, learn the doctrine rightly divided, build that doctrine up in our souls, be obedient to it, and get the message out. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your written Word. And I just pray today that we'll all be obedient to it and have your will and way in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for having me.